All right. I like how y'all are all spread out. That's good. Yeah. It's great. And tell you what, I'll put it there.
Do what?
All right. Well, I know we got a lot of sick folks. I know that's happening. People still in the hospital, but today is a better day for Jeff. And then sick folks, still sick, got fevers and stuff like that, so I know we're praying for them. We're in Proverbs this evening, Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And verses 31 and 32, Proverbs chapter 3. Oh, there's some. All right, good. That's exciting. Yay, Chris is back. All right, yeah, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31. And there's a thought here at the end of verse 32 that we'll cover. The more I study the Bible, really ever since becoming pastor, and studying the Bible and really just, I don't know, I'm getting so much out of it. Every so often you come across, or I do, I come across these phrases or these truths in the Bible and I feel like, you know, you ever feel like you know somebody enough and they say something and you're like, I knew you were going to say that. And it's kind of like some of these truths, some of these things I read, it's like, Yep. You would have to say that. That has to be true. That's right. And so, I don't know, I feel like that sometimes when I'm reading the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31. Let's read it. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The phrase that I thought that about, like, yeah, that's true because it has to be true, is that last part, his secret is with the righteous. And I'll explain it this evening. I got four little thoughts on it. But that was the phrase that, you know, I read that and just thought, yeah, that's true because it has to be true. And anyhow, we're going to talk about that. That secret's like a mystery. It's hidden. It's not. It was hidden to most. It's not revealed in certain company. Obviously, it's unseen. And the secret really is, if you just broaden it out, the secret really is the Lord's kingdom that is hidden from the world. And it's been preached on since Enoch. It's ever since sin entered the world. I mean, it's been something that man can't see. Obviously can't see the spiritual aspects of it. He can't see the physical aspects of it. But if you really, you want to know the secret is the hidden kingdom, really God's hidden kingdom. In all its physical glory and all its spiritual demeanor, all of those aspects of it. And Solomon says the Lord's secret is with the righteous. And the reason I think that I thought when I read that, it's like, yeah, these things that are with the Lord, these things that are unseen by mankind are only accessed by faith. You can only access the information by faith. And you can see, I don't want to say not remnants, but you can see patterns. You can see fingerprints of God, and you can see things in nature that resemble and that illustrate spiritual truths. But you can't see that kingdom. I mean, you can't see the physical glory, and obviously you can't see the spiritual aspects of it. And so that being said, that those things are only accessed by faith, and you know, righteousness comes by faith. And so when he says the secret is with the righteous, that has to be true. That's the only way it could be. And so that said, let's pray, and I'll give you four thoughts on this, the Lord's secret with the righteous. Father, I pray that you'd help us this evening. I thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for your words. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. And for those that are sick, pray that you would heal up their bodies and give them grace. And then with Jeff still recovering from open heart surgery, that you'd continue to heal up his body and give him some direction on the path forward and what to do. And again, thank you so much for your light and your guidance and your direction. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Four little thoughts on this. The secret, the Lord's secret with the righteous. And the first point, I kind of mentioned it here. This is a truth that's really one of the major themes throughout the Bible, that there are things that are hidden with the Lord, that are covered by a veil, that are just man just doesn't have access to them apart from faith. He just doesn't have any access to the information, doesn't have access to know what the future is like. He doesn't have any access to know what the physical aspects of Jesus Christ's kingdom are going to be like. He just doesn't have any access to that information apart from believing what God said about it. He can look at nature and he can learn some things about the fingerprints of God and through patterns and things like that. But really, that statement, the Lord's secret is with the righteous, is a common thread that goes all the way through the Bible. And the first thought that goes with that is, like I already mentioned, the first thought is it has to be this way, because God's secrets can only be accessed by believing God's words. You have to believe what God said. For instance, I give you a couple verses, and I got several verses, and I don't want to make you turn to all of them, but I'll read this one, and then we'll turn to another one. In Matthew chapter 11, the Lord says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes." That's going to go right along with what the Lord tells Nicodemus. You cannot access in certain information from the Lord by a college degree, by philosophizing, any of those things. It comes by revelation. I'll show it to you in John. Look in John chapter 3. Remember, he reveals it unto babes, he said. And that's sort of a quote from Psalms there. But look in John chapter 3. Revealed unto babes. Here's a babe. Here's a birth here, a baby. John chapter 3. You know this. But keep in mind that hidden thing, that hidden kingdom that you have to believe God about. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again," there's a babe, it's a baby, "be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's a hidden thing. That's a secret. That's what it is. In Proverbs, it's a secret. You can't see it. I mean, you have no access to it apart from the Spirit of God. Let's keep reading. Skip down to verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? There you go. If I tell you secrets that you can't see, if I explain something that's earthly that you can see and you won't hear it, how in the world am I going to tell you about something you can't see? Verse 13, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So Jesus Christ says, look, I am an eyewitness, and the things that I tell you I have seen. I am a personal eyewitness to the things that I'm telling you. The problem is, if I can't tell you about things, you're looking at earthly things that you can see and you can verify with your eyes. You can see them, and I tell you about earthly things and you won't listen. There's no way I can tell you about heavenly things that I've seen. There's no way I can tell you if you won't listen to the things you can verify. You'll never be able to get the things that you can't verify. And so that's what he tells Nicodemus. If I tell you earthly things and you won't listen, how in the world can I tell you heavenly things? He said, I'm just telling you things that I have seen. I am a witness to. I've been with these things. They're secret to man, but they're not secret to God. They're not secret to the heavenly hosts. They're not secret to certain people, certain personalities, but certain creatures. But they are secret to man. Man can't see them. And so here is this teacher in Israel, Nicodemus. And Jesus, he had said earlier, he says, you must be born again. He says, you must be born of the Spirit, which Paul explains later on in 1 Corinthians a little bit. But the whole idea is there are these secrets that belong to the righteous, and righteousness that comes by faith. Of course, that's the only way to get those, get access to that information. Of course, that's the only way. So, it makes sense in Proverbs when Solomon says it. Makes sense when Jesus says it to Nicodemus. Hey, I'm trying to explain to you things that I've seen, and you're not listening. In fact, you won't even listen to me about the things that you can see. So much less, how are you going to listen to things that you can't see? And that's the frustration with Nicodemus here. Him being a teacher in Israel, Jesus Christ had asked that. He says, how can you be a teacher in Israel and not know this? How do you not know these things? How are you have to be born from above. You have to have revelation from the Spirit of God that you've received. And sometimes that revelation from the Spirit of God, it doesn't get received. And so there's no access to what the Spirit of God's saying, because you won't listen to him. So that's Jesus' frustration there. But the theme, I just show you the theme that's in Proverbs. The Lord's secrets with the righteous. Here's Jesus Christ dealing with a man about secrets that he doesn't know anything about, yet he's a teacher in Israel, supposed to be teaching about the things of God. And Jesus Christ is saying, let me tell you the things that I've witnessed that are with God. But the problem is you won't listen to me. Here's another one. I'll just read it to you. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Romans. By whom also, listen to this, the way this is worded. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And the access comes by faith. That's how that's accessed. I can't grab it. I can't contain it. I can't put it in a Tupperware box. I mean, I can't. The only access I have to some of this information is just believing what God said. So when Enoch is preaching way back there, at the beginning of Genesis, and he says the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon the ungodly with all their ungodly deeds and all that stuff. He's looking at something that man can't see, and the only way man will respond to that is if he believes the report. if he believes that report from God that came through Enoch. So, first off, number one, it has to be this way. The Lord's secret is with the righteous because it has to be this way. God's secrets can only be accessed by believing God's words. Second thing is this, and I thought about this point, maybe expounding a little bit on it in Sunday morning, but we'll see. But the second point is this, the things that can't be seen are of more consequence than the things that are seen. The things that you can't see are of more consequence than the things that you can see. I'll give you a couple of thoughts on that. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for good cross-reference with that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. This goes right along with what we said earlier. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. It says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom. That's the secrets. These are secrets. They're available to everybody, but if you won't exercise faith and believe God, they're hidden. Which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if they could see what they were doing, they wouldn't have done the things they did. But, this is great, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, there's the secret, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Well, how's that? It's the scriptures, the words of God, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So, I mean, it's a simple equation. It's the Spirit of God knows what's happening. He's an eyewitness. He's the testimony. And then he speaks these things which he's seen. Jesus Christ does the same thing. I'm telling you what I've seen, and your response will determine whether you know the mysteries or whether you know the hidden things or not. But they're of more consequence. Here's how they're of more consequence. For verse 12, now we have received not that spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And you can keep reading that whole thought, but that's the idea. I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by... That's the revelation. That's the telling of the secret. And that's only that only belongs to the righteous, because the righteous are the faithful. That's the only way it can work. One more, you don't have to turn there, but these things that are unseen, that was the point, is the things that are unseen are clearly of more consequence than the things that are seen. So in chapter 2 here, you've got these this preparation and future glory and things like that that man doesn't know about unless he believes what God said about him. And then over there in I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about the God of this world hath blinded the minds. In fact, I don't want to butcher it too much. I'll just read it to you. He's made sure that the secret things of God remain secret to certain people. 2 Corinthians 4, 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now, there's why it's a secret. It's blinded folks there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. There it is. There's the condition. They believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The glorious gospel. There's another example, another thought there of the things that are hidden are of significantly more consequence than the things that are seen. What you can see passes away. What you can't see, that's sort of the power behind. That's the life behind it. So things that can't be seen are of more consequence than things that are seen. And third point is this. The mysteries of God's kingdom, because that's the secret, the kingdom, God's whole kingdom, physical glory, spiritual, the whole thing. The mysteries of God's kingdom are largely illustrated in many really natural patterns. And the Lord will periodically, and he did in the Gospels, would periodically just explain some element that's hidden to unbelievers and show in nature, hey, the wheat and the tares, the sower and the seed, and he would just explain some natural pattern in creation and say, this is like this, and this is like this, and this is like the Word of God, and this is like the judgment, this harvest, and this is like, and he would just liken a natural pattern to a spiritual reality and some aspect of his kingdom. And so he would speak in, he would put the secret in plain view, where but people wouldn't be able to see it if they didn't believe what he was saying. I'll just read it to you. Mark chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, their sins should be forgiven them." So this, the secret, going back to Proverbs, it can be laid out right in front of people, and if they will not believe what God said, there's no way they know what's reality and what's not with God. So the mysteries of God's kingdom, they are largely illustrated in natural patterns, and the Lord identifies a lot of those things, and he'll identify some of his characteristics, you know, holiness with fire, and sometimes he likens himself, you know, we talked about the rock, and just making some natural likenesses there that people can relate to. And but if you don't believe God's words, then the stuff he says doesn't make any sense, and you don't know, you don't have the secret. I mean, you won't be able to see what he's saying. And the Lord says, look, I can put it out there plainly and point to it in nature, and still people will not get it. I can lay it right out there, because if they won't believe, they'll not get it. They just won't get it. And so it's the secret's with the righteous, even when the secret is laid out in plain view for somebody to see it. It's still not accessible unless you'll listen to God. And then, fourth and lastly here, the secrets really revolve around Christ. That's the container, that's the personality, it's the person that's associated with the hidden things of God. It's his kingdom. When he comes back, it's his glory, it's all those things. Look in Colossians chapter 2 real quick, and this will be the last point, but this is good. The secrets are hid in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." That's where they're hidden. They're in Christ, which is kind of neat because the very next chapter says this. If ye then be risen with Christ, chapter 3, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. There you go. Everything that belongs to Christ, if you're saved, that's where your life is. Your life is not planted here necessarily. It's with Jesus Christ, and then when Jesus Christ returns, then he will. That's your life. So this thought it leads to something else, and I'll mention it quickly here. The fact that the secrets are hid in Christ. You remember when you get to the Gospels, you get to Matthew, and this phrase keeps showing up, like the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of God is at hand, and thinking Mark and maybe Luke. But here's the thought. Everything that's hidden with God was never physically tangible to man. He could hear from Enoch, for instance, preaching, hey, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So the kingdom was limited to the words, I guess you could say. It's limited to the words. And John even says at the beginning was the Word and all that stuff, Jesus Christ the Word. That's kind of tied to all this. But so it's limited to the words, the preaching. But then when Jesus Christ shows up, the kingdom is now, at least in Christ, is now within arm's reach. He's the ambassador of heaven now. And he shows up on earth, and you have Matthew saying, hey, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's like you can reach out and touch it now. You couldn't do that before. You could hear, you could listen to preaching about it. You could hear someone talk about it. But now I can reach out and I can touch. This is the only representative of the kingdom of heaven or God's kingdom. I mean, in this way it's being presented, it doesn't make any difference because it's the overall kingdom of God here. But Jesus Christ is the only now tangible heavenly, I don't know, person, ambassador. And so Matthew says, hey, the kingdom of God, or John preaches the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I think Mark says kingdom of God is at hand. And the point is, now it's not just encased in words and preaching. Now it's in a person. Now these secrets are in a person. And so Jesus Christ comes preaching, and he comes exposing things and saying things. And John will say, this is eternal life, which we have handled, which we have touched, which we've listened to, which we've communicated with, we've sat down with. And so that all said, he's the ambassador. He's the physical manifestation, the only physical manifestation of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God that ever existed on the earth. Now it's not just the words. Now he's the Word. He's it. And so that said, when you read things like in Matthew where he says, and I don't want to go too far with it, but I just want to explain something. When he says something like, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. And he said, John's the greatest man that ever lived. John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived. And then he says, but he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. He's talking about himself. Because he's the only representation, physical representation of the kingdom of heaven that exists now, at least on earth here. And so when he says, yes, John is the greatest man that ever lived, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. And he's talking about him. And then he'll say something like, and the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. You think, well, that sounds like the land suffers violence or something like that. No. He does. He is the one that is taken by force. What does that mean? It's like sending an ambassador from the United States over to, you know, Germany or something, go back to World War II, and you have the ambassador in Germany, and then the Germans decide we're not going to be friendly with the United States anymore. And then they kill the ambassador. Well, that's the violent taking it by force. That man represents a nation. Jesus Christ represents a kingdom. And when the people decided and said, we don't want this man to be our king. We don't want this man. And so he'll say things like, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. That's not talking about warfare. That's talking about him, his physical body, his life. And it's just like an ambassador being taken by an enemy. And what that means to the nation is now you are showing, if you take our ambassador hostage or you kill our ambassador, that represents hostility towards our nation. You remember when, it was a mess. It was in, was it Libya? Benghazi, yeah. And they take the ambassador. I mean, it's a horrible thing. But you know what that means? We are at war with your country. So that's what Jesus Christ is. He's the ambassador of the heavenlies. He's the ambassador of God's domain. And he steps into earth. And Matthew says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's within arm's reach. We can touch him. We can feel him. We touched righteousness. We handled eternal life. And he says, yeah, the kingdom of heaven, you know, this me suffers violence now. Why? Because the world has shown its hostility. It hates God. It hates the things of God. And now the things of God are manifest in a person. They're in Christ. And so I say, the secrets are hid in Christ. They're still hid in Christ. Just his body is up now. But when it was on the earth, it was still hid in Christ. And he goes and preaches and he exposes things. He says things that, you know, God's not pleased with this and he's not pleased with this. And your religion doesn't mean what you think it means. And what you're doing isn't what you think you're doing. And the people say, well, we don't want to hear that. We're not interested in that. So the point is the secrets are hid in Christ. We could delve into some more about that with some of the Matthew verses, but one of those things always confused me, but when I see Jesus Christ, and it's like, yes, that makes sense. That's who he's talking about. It's him. He is the manifestation of everything that was hidden, and now he shows up, and now he's tangible. He's physical. And people sit down with him. They eat with him. They drink with him. And they have fellowship with him, and they walk with him, and they talk with him. And then some people hate him. But all goes back to those things. The Lord's secret is with the righteous, because it has to be. It has to be with the righteous. The Lord's secret is with the righteous, and the things that are unseen are of more consequence than the things that are seen. The Lord's secret is with the righteous. And those secret things are oftentimes illustrated in natural patterns. And the Lord's secret is with the righteous. Well, what's his secret? The secrets are hid in Christ. They're in Jesus Christ. So I hope that makes some sense to you. I thought, man, this is really, really cool. This is really cool how this works out. And it's such a thread that just runs all the way through the Bible, all the way through there. And it shows you why faith is so important. Just it's absolutely essential. You have to believe what God said. You just have to believe what God said. So I hope that's helpful. Let's pray, and then we'll take some prayer requests. Father, I pray it's been helpful covering these things. Some probably need to be developed a little bit more, but I hope it's enough information to go off of. Thank you for each soul that's here. Thank you for this time together. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.